Welcome to episode 30 of Digital Outbox. Hello and welcome to a special edition of Digital Outbox. We have a tech review of the year. Joining me tonight are Shaquille. Hi, Shaq.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. How are you this evening?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good, good. Also joining us tonight is Chris. How are we doing, Chris?
I'm doing very well. End of school feeling tonight.
I just feel I should let this play all the way through.
I'm dancing to it.
Because if we're all wise, we'll listen to you.
Oh, very good.
And that is the dulcet tones of Top Rhubarb. How you doing, Henry?
I'm doing very well tonight, and I'm just so glad you've got a theme tune for me. Had to wait a long time for that, and it's been really worthwhile waiting for. That's it.
There you go. I had to get the dog in. And finally for me...
Cut it out! I have a glandular problem.
I have no idea why that's mine, but it is.
It makes us happy.
It does make us all very happy.
I think
happy.
It makes Shaquille happy. That's the only one. So then, we're going to do a review of the year and recommend our favourite apps and talk about our best games and talk about our best gadgets and our failures and a little look forward. What we're going to do is split into quarters. So Shaquille is now going to take us to the first 3 months of the year.
Okay, well, to start off in January, we heard that Microsoft were to lay off 5,000 employees, and then IBM and Yahoo followed suit. And then... distressing news about Steve Jobs pulling out of Macworld due to illness. And we had iLife 09, iWork 09 as well, and the unibody 17-inch MacBook Pros. Mm. And iTunes went DRM-free.
Finally.
I knew I would hear something from Chris there. And Apple also announced that they were going to pull out of next year's Macworld. And then we had, of course, Spotify starting to take off. There was a lot of buzz in the news about it. And a lot of people starting to use it as well. And then Palm unveiled the Palm Pre. And
get out.
Web OS, which is supposed to be like, the main rival to the iPhone once it was released.
Yeah, right.
And Windows 7 public beta got great feedback from everybody who used it.
Really?
except for you. And then we also had Steve Jobs stepping down for health reasons, and he had to take medical leave until the end of June.
Well, he finally admitted it, didn't he?
Yeah, there were rumors that he's dying and he's not going to be coming back, and there was a lot of pressure on Apple to, come out clean with what was true and what wasn't. And then another big news from January was that Twitter was getting big as well, and it caught up with their dig in terms of traffic. And Google flagged the whole internet as malware, which was down to human error.
Quack, quack, oops.
Yeah.
Moving on to February, we had Google adding the ocean to Google Earth. We had Kindle 2 being released, which was slimmer and was a better design, but still not available in the UK.
Boo.
Twitter continued to grow, now worth an estimated $230 million.
Ka-ching!
And we had the best Android phone so far, the G2. And, of course, Pirate Bay went to core, and that's when the trials began as well.
Bless.
And Safari 4 woo-hoo, became world's fastest browser.
Briefly.
Yeah, very briefly. That's why it was so fast.
And then moving on to March, we had refreshes of iMacs, Mac Minis, and the AirPort Extremes and the Time Capsules. And we also had the new iPod Shuffles, which were tiny.
Miniature.
Yeah.
And Facebook introduced real-time home pages.
Fail.
started to put up a good fight with Twitter. Kindle app for the iPhone and iPod Touch was released on
App Store, in the UK.
But not in the UK. And we had the announcement of the iPhone OS 3, which was going to finally introduce multimedia messaging, cut, copy and paste, and other sort of features for developers. And in fact, I think it was made available to developers at the same time as well.
It was. I got it.
And was promising faster speeds as well. Internet Explorer 8 was also launched this month, dubbed to be more secure and faster. But
which it was, but it was still crap.
Still crap. Who said that? That wasn't Chris.
Mr. Microsoft in the corner comes up with a negative Microsoft.
He's just trying to balance it out, I think.
Yeah. Google Street View was launched in the UK as
fantastic.
Well.
Fantastic.
And awesome, Twitter turned 3 and finally started to like take off in a big way. And then we had the laptop Hunter ads from Microsoft, which were kind of crap, but Chris liked them. And that was it for the first quarter, I believe.
Fantastic.
Now, a couple of the big topics from this quarter, we obviously already mentioned Spotify starting to take off. A lot of people started to use this mostly through word of mouth, I believe.
Well, it started off, it was an invite program, wasn't it? And they started releasing more and more of the invites, and people had invites to send out. So it gathered buzz. I can't believe it's, you know, it's only been a year since it sort of started taking off. But a lot's happened in that year. You know, it's changed the landscape quite a lot, hasn't it?
Definitely.
What was really impressive was I think the invite system, it forces a lot of buzz to come out about a product.
Yeah.
You know, because people want to be on this next big thing, you know, and everybody's talking about it and all the tech people were talking about it. But it wasn't just like the usual kind of geek community that I know. It was like, you know, there was, you know, just people into music had picked up on this, and I think it was starting to get, you know, it was starting to get press in papers and websites were talking about it in radio. It was a... It seemed to kind of get a life of its own.
It's always been banded around as the kind of the model that's the future looking, or the most future looking of all of them out there.
Yeah. And the thing...
Go on, sorry.
No, the thing that did it for me was the collaborative playlists. I just thought that was superb.
Yeah, that and we've had such little negative press about it, haven't we? I mean, they've added nice features like the playlists. But there's the only negative bit of press was when some of the record labels pulled a couple of the more obscure bands off of it.
Yeah,
I
think that's been the issue that for a lot of people, I mean, they keep on seeing 6 million tracks, but I still know of a couple of guys at work that go on and try and find things and they can't find them, and it's like, oh, it's not everything's there, but it's not going to have everything, but it's still got a massive amount.
Well, I think that's what really happened at the beginning of the year, wasn't it? That they actually managed to do these deals with the labels and actually managed to get these most of the music available, because Spotify has been going for 3 years now, maybe even longer. But it was only when they finally get those things together and they kind of, it's funny, it's tipping points that they reach.
It'll be interesting to see how the people who originally started using it, how they use it now. I mean, I must be honest, I don't really use it anymore. I enjoyed it initially, you know, I thought it was really good, but I just tend to reach for my iPhone to listen to music. But the people I used to work with, they use that on a daily basis, because they don't have an iPod or any sort of portable music player. So for them, it's like really, really convenient. And so it's certainly be interesting to see if how many people who did use it, whether they still use it or whether they use it in a slightly different way, maybe via an iPhone app, which was also released this year.
I think this to me was like the first, service or application to offer like a viable alternative to buying music.
Yeah.
You know, it was the first one that says, actually, you know, here's a mod over there. You can listen to the adverts and get lower quality music for free and stream it. Or you can make a purchase and you can actually download what you want to listen to, and it's better quality.
I think the other thing, important thing about Spotify at the moment is that it's a very European-centric thing. There's only a few countries that actually have access to it. So, again, what's going to happen next year? Is it going to spread to America? Well, there's been people talking about that, but there doesn't seem to be a way forward at the moment outside of Europe.
Well, I think in the next month or two, they're talking about the deals are done for the next couple of years with regard to streaming music, and that's what they're kind of waiting for America. It is one of the few I guess it's a few big tech stories that Europe's really had the lead on compared to America. I mean, you mentioned the app. When I got the, I still think the iPhone app is absolutely superb. And that, it did make me go premium for a couple of months, but then the usage fell off again. You know, it's probably, it's a bit like Shaki was saying, you know, the initial buzz was great, but then I just stopped using it, and I was always going for the my music on that I already had in the iPod.
I guess it's nice to have the option, isn't it, to go back, dip in and out when you need to.
And I was going to say, I went to a sort of couple of parties this, you know, in the Christmas period, and it's been very useful to have the premium service where you can, you know, pick any track people want to find or search for. It's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Were these your Windows 7 parties by any chance?
Has anyone else noticed the thing about Spotify, though, that, you know, the big thing when they started was that you got 30 seconds of adverts for every 30 minutes of music, which was seemed ridiculously a little amount of advertising. Recently, I think there seems to be more adverts. It seems to be kicking in every kind of 15 minutes now.
And I noticed on a client recently, you're getting a lot of adverts.
And you can't actually turn off the volume on those. One of the things you used to be able to do was actually just turn the volume to zero. But if you do that, it kind of pauses.
But
the whole thing.
But how do they make money? You know what I mean? If they don't do something with adverts, what are they going to do?
No, absolutely. And I still use it. I still like it.
Yeah. So I guess one of the other big stories that's kind of dominated the year was Twitter.
Yeah.
So I guess we've either been kind of like haters of Twitter at one point, but then we've all eventually kind of, I guess, fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's another one of those things. I can't believe that it's only been a year that Twitter's been around in the sort of mainstream, really.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a couple of years, but I must have been the first sort of 6 months because nobody else really used it.
Yeah.
I got very little use out of it. It's one of these things that needs a mass, you know, of different people on to actually get the best out of it.
Well, the thing for me was definitely TweetDeck. When TweetDeck hit, then you could actually start using it in different ways, start searching for things and get things that people using hashtags and stuff and have lots of different columns. And actually, you know, even if you didn't have many people that were on it that you knew, it was still very useful to actually search for real-time information. For me, TweetDeck was the thing that really changed it.
This is one of those services that people were saying at the start, well, we have no idea what this is for and what it's going to be used for. And I was exactly the same. But people have found some pretty good uses for it. Just this simple concept that's, you know, had a community-driven development almost. And there's been so many different ways that people have found to use it.
Well, the retweeting is community-driven. Mm. Hashtags are community-driven. You know, and it's just things like that are all just based around, you know, people wanting to get more and more out of the service. I mean, for me, it's just been about, I mean, it's a really nice way of kind of keeping in touch and broadcasting and stuff like that. But even just understanding, you know, getting closer to some of the bigger companies and some of the different software developers out there, it's just I find it a really good way of getting information and being able to talk to people that you wouldn't normally be able to talk to.
I think even though it's starting to get more exposure, now, there are still a lot of people that have joined. I mean, I convinced several colleagues at work to join, and one of the first tweets that they put up is always along the lines of, so I'm on Twitter, what do I do now? Or how do
everybody's done
this?
That, I think.
Yeah. my first tweet was like that.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing this year, it was the celebs joining. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think Stephen Fry here was, I guess, one of the big UK, you know, tech celebs to kick off. But then you had your kind of chat show host in America jumped on, and then it was that kind of like, you know, February, March, April, May, the traffic just went through the roof.
Yeah.
It just really exploded.
One of the things that surprised me is like how it's being used to get news like almost like immediately as it happens. Like, for example, when Michael Jackson died, I found out about it through Twitter initially before it was even on the news. So like, and it really surprised me. And then just, you know, like searching for Michael Jackson, getting a whole lot of tweets coming through. You can question the accuracy of some of the, you know, the tweets that get put up, but at least you get the, you know, the basic news about anything like Iran, for example, the Iran elections and all that. You know, that's
two things in different scales stick in my mind. One was the plane landing in the Hudson River, and you had the guy taking the photo, and it went on Twitter, and everybody started retweeting it. You know, and that was just massive. You know, it was like, who else could have done that? And you think about the tools that you've got in your hand now that. That you know, 10 years ago, you could never have done anything like that. Even if you'd taken a picture yourself, and there's nothing, you know, how do you get it out there? They're taking days before that came out.
Yeah.
Instead, it was out, you know, I'm on the river. This is, look what's happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And then the second one was more local. It was a fire local to me. And none of the news sites were carrying it. But if you did a search on Twitter, I found out where it was, when it had started, and nobody was hurt, and it was a block of flats. And I guess it's local, but because you've got that mass of people on now, you know, just being able to find out information. And I guess Henry says through things like, you know, TweetDeck, and certainly on the iPhone, and the Twitter apps have really come on leaps and bounds over the last 12 months.
And without actually having any revenue input, they've become positive on the old balance sheet now.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So they're actually getting money from somewhere, enough to cover their costs, which is great.
So it's like, Google has paid them $15 million to get access to their fire hose, the stream of tweets. I think Bing was $10 million. You know, so there's a lot of value in that information, and everybody's clamouring for it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Twitter exposure that's come about recently probably has been mainly due to a lot of these mobile devices now becoming freely available and people like tweeting on the move, whereas
Definitely.
Before you had to sit, you know, in front of your computer, and I think that's where the popularity has risen dramatically.
Yeah, but it's definitely one of the big tech stories of the year. Well,
definitely the biggest mover of the year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Aye. So, something that's common to the four of us is we all have iPhones. So I thought it was worthwhile maybe doing our kind of apps or games of the year. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first since I did the first quarter, I guess. So
step forward.
You know what? I think we'll all agree it's really hard to pick your favourite apps or games because there's just so many that
so
you use.
So many.
And one way I sort of like picked mines were, I just looked back over the number of months to see which ones I've used the most.
Yeah.
And without a shadow of a doubt, the one that sticks out in my mind is 1Password. It's not a game, but it's one of my favourite apps, mainly because it stores a lot of my personal data. And if I'm out and about and I suddenly need to, you know, access anything, any personal data that I can't because I'm not in front of a computer, I immediately launch this app and get access to it. So that's one of them. The second most used app I've got, it's got to be Facebook, I'd imagine. Lovely looking app, lovely to use, especially after that recent software update that they had. They've just made it so user-friendly, and it's quite stable as well now. And for Twitter, I would say definitely Tweety too. And I sort of jump between Tweety and Twitterific too as well, because I like both of them. Again, both great apps. Tweety, just lovely to use, really, really simple. I find there are more features in Twitterific, but I can't really put my finger on them, what they are now, because I'm under the spotlight, but there are. And finally, I think AppMiner, which is a bit of a surprise for me. I tend to use that almost every couple of days just to see what new apps have come on sale and what new apps have been released. It's not always the quickest to report new apps, but the on-sale apps, it's really easy to find them using this. I did put down The Guardian, but I think because it's a relatively new app, I don't think it should really count as my app of the year, but I do like that as well. And that's me.
I must say, that minor one I tried, and I stopped using it, but I maybe have to take a look at that again.
Yeah.
So, Henry, what about you?
Well, I think really the Secret of Monkey Island was a great app, hotly anticipated, and then kind of it appeared really from nowhere, and it was just great nostalgia, and I just liked the way they kind of put that together. I know there were things that were a bit annoying about the interface and things, and maybe they could have done things a bit differently, but it just took me back years and lots of fun.
Yeah, even just that, what I loved about it was just the fact that you had this on your phone.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know, still pretty mind-blowing when I think what we've got now, you know, technology-wise.
Yeah, what you can carry in your pocket, absolutely.
Amazing.
Well, before we go over to Chris, I'll rattle through mines. And I guess there's some duplicates with Shaq, so definitely Tweety. I'm a big Tweety fan, and I think Tweety 2 has just been superb for me. Facebook again. I don't post much on Facebook, but I just find it a really nice way of keeping on top of, you know, friends posting on it. One that is probably specific to me, Remember the Milk, is I'm in that app every day. So probably the equivalent to like Shaky One Password, and you might not use it, but I just, everything, all my to-dos, I throw them into Remember the Milk. So if I'm sitting at my Mac or PC, I've got the web interface, and an iPhone, I've obviously got the app. And it just lets me keep on top of things. And it's just superb. Couple of other apps. I've definitely got to see The Guardian, because since it's out, I've been on it every day. I just think it's fantastic. And we mentioned it in last week's cast. I just think anybody quibbling about the price just needs to, you know, take a look at themselves, man. And it's like it's £2.50, and it just gives you access to so much great content. You know, what do you want? Right? But I think it's an issue for anybody that wants to be an app developer, which is maybe a little bit close to home for some of us now. But you know, the whole price thing's a real big issue.
Mm.
You know, people saying, you know, oh, that's £1.50. Oh, I wouldn't have bought it for that, but if it's 59p, that would be better. And it's like 59p. You know, it's tiny, tiny, tiny sums. Mm. Anyway, I've got to mention Spotify, because I think the app itself worked really, really well. And the streaming music worked really well over Wi-Fi and 3G, and just the offline downloading, I thought, was a great concept. One specific for me, and it was the first one with this kind of augmented reality and using the compass, but it was Pocket Universe. And it's a bit of a gimmick for me. I'm not into, you know, astronomy and all that kind of stuff, but just being able to, you know, you've got a clear night sky and pull out the app and be able to work out what's what. That was one of these kind of future app things that's just like, that is immense.
Another thing that wasn't possible, you know, just at the beginning of the year almost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and it was one of these things that it's like Tomorrow's World from 20 years ago talked about things like this, you know, and it's finally getting here.
It is amazing, you know, technology that we have today. And what's even more amazing is how quickly we get used to it. You just
take it for granted.
Exactly, yeah. It's just amazing.
You know, so it's like, you know, and I'm probably preempting some of the stuff later on, but I was thinking about, you know, a new decade, you know, in a week and a half time.
Mm.
And I was thinking, like, you know, in the year 2000, you know, we didn't have, you know, like our TFTs or LCDs.
No.
You know, daft things like that. Our phones, I was probably using that Nokia slider phone that was from The Matrix. You know what I mean?
So yeah, you were. I remember.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to those and thinking, blah, you know, where are we now? And the next 10 years is, you know, bloody exciting when I think about what's, you know, possible.
We're all going to have chips in the back
of the mug or anything.
It's the death of the pub quiz. That's all I want to say. That's just, you know, the death of the pub quiz. Now everyone's got iPhones and, you know, looking at Wikipedia. It's shocking.
Well, never mind Wikipedia and pub quiz. Some of the best things have been the games on the iPhone. So my standouts this year, Real Racing, I thought was an excellent game. Surprised Shaku didn't mention it. Biggest Brain, as soon as he's obsessed with it. One that I urge everybody to go and play, just and it's immense, and at first you don't think it is, and it is Space Invaders Infinity Gene. Mm-hmm. You know, and you start off and you think it's just a Space Invader type game, then it extends out and you think very good, but the ability just to pick any bit of music on your iPhone and it generates a level based on the music, I just think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Flight Control was again a great use of, it's a really simple game that wouldn't have worked without a touch interface.
Yep.
You know, you're trying to do that with a joypad would have been impossible, I think.
But it's just such a polished game for the price that they're asking for, which really surprised me.
59p, and I think it's spent a whole year basically in the top, maybe even the top 10, but certainly top 25. So the revenues from that, well, and fair enough, it's taken a lot of, it was there first with it. And then my final one, which Shaki will probably groan at, is definitely Cannibal. I just think it's a great little 59p game that I can't stop playing.
Oh dear.
Chris.
Okay, so games wise, I started the year by spending ages downloading Myst, which I think was about 1.5 gigabytes, and I stupidly did it through the actual iPhone rather than iTunes.
Ouch.
Oh god, it took ages. However, it was, for me, it was thoroughly worth it. It was I never played it on the PC, you know, years ago when it was out, and I just really enjoyed it. And it was just, again, great to be able to carry something that like that around with you and sort of just keep thinking about it. And if you wanted to try a new sort of strategy, you could just go in for it. So that was great. Peggle, what a great game that was this year. I know it was multi-format, but on the iPhone it was just, again, brilliant. App-wise, same as you guys, Tweety and Tweety 2 have been probably the most used apps on my iPhone. But I have to say my best purchase was Copilot Live, whether it was 20, 25, 26 quid for a sat-nav that works. I mean, I've had very little stutters or problems with it.
I tell you something, full-featured, we had it. We were driving up from Portsmouth to Gatwick, and I had the iPhone and we used it. And the guy I was driving with was really impressed with just the, because it was coming up with all the proper lane changes and giving you graphics and all tied up with the motorway signs above us. It was superb. So every time I've used it, I've been really chuffed with my 25 quid spend.
I mean, yeah, for the people that only want to spend 59p, this is the kind of thing you can get for a little bit more.
So Henry, when you start selling something for more than 59p, get Chris to do your advert.
Chris, I think, to do my adverts, unbelievable. Just a little bit more.
I'm almost as good at adverts as Microsoft is.
It's 50 times more. Just a little bit more.
Come on. I mean, and this is, I guess this is the thing. I mean, it's giving you a GPS app, and I mean, I know Google come out with an app, and it's free. But there's been some issues with it, and it depends on good connections, and this all works.
I know, anyway. The TomTom app is three times the price and not nearly as good, so, you know, there we go.
Yeah, and the Google app relies on having a data connection. This has got all your maps installed.
Yeah. Christopher.
Yeah, my turn to do my quarter. I shall rattle through. So April, we saw Twitter put search in, that actually worked. Google decided not to buy Twitter, which seems like a big error now. Facebook saw 200 million users, and we saw Twitter was getting much more mainstream now. So this is when the sort of celebrities started coming on board, Oprah and Stephen Fry and people like that. The Pirate Bay 4 were found guilty. Oracle buys Sun, although that's still, even to this day, is still being looked at by the Competition Commission and hasn't really resolved itself.
Save MySQL.
Yes. We saw the App Store have some problems as far as, I think it was, there was a baby shaker app, wasn't there? There was pretty horrendous in every single way. But general App Store problems with people getting denials of access to the App Store and things like that. But they'd had a billion downloads in the first 9 months of the App Store, which is just incredible. Dropbox saw 1 million users. Twitter, one of the first sort of people looking for a reason for Twitter, well, we saw swine flu being tracked by Twitter. Windows 7, the first release candidate for beta testing, was out and getting very positive buzz. And again, another reason for Twitter, someone built a Twitter app that actually tweeted his farts when he sat on the chair.
The worst thing is I know a guy at work that would, if he had that, he would be twittering every kind of 5 minutes, because he farts all the time.
I want to see the technology involved in that. So into May, we saw a new Kindle announced with a bigger screen. It's still not in the UK.
Yaddy yaddy
yeah. We had some really bizarre App Store rejections. Eucalyptus. What was Eucalyptus? Like, I can't remember exactly the details. Ian, you probably know that. Okay.
No.
Let's move on. Google Wave.
I do. It was a book reader.
Yeah.
And it was rejected because the book contained, you know, like some dodgy content. It was Kama Sutra, wasn't it?
But it
was just allowing you to download it. Apple rejected it. And it's actually, I'm sure it's a developer. It's in Edinburgh. So it was, and the app itself, lovely app, but it was just how bizarre that it was rejected.
So we saw Google Wave being announced to many cries of what the hell is it for? Another bit of news that's never gone away. Bing got announced. So it's in May that Bing got announced. That's amazing that it's so close and so much has happened since. And the PSB Go got announced.
And it's gone.
Everyone's shouting, gone. What the heck is this? What's the point of it? In June we had E3, so we had lots of gaming announcements for a year that was completely dead on games. Suddenly E3 came along and we got Project Natal announced, Twitter, Facebook, and Last.fm for the 360. We saw Sony announce their motion controller and God of War 3 announced for the PS3. We also had Palm Pre got, I think, was it released in June? I think that's right, in America.
Yep, in America.
Yeah.
Okay, and then start of the OS wars with announcements that we were going to have Windows 7 50 to 100 quid and Snow Leopard they were going to chuck away at 25 quid a pop. we saw the iPhone OS 3 launched alongside the 3GS, so some big releases from Apple there. We had MacBook Pro with its 8-hour battery, but non-replaceable to get the extra space out of it.
It hours mine.
One thing I was going to ask, actually, it, has that borne itself out? Is that
yes?
So it actually does last 8 hours, because that was very impressive.
You're such a hater. Honestly,
I'm not. I've not heard anything.
You're like
since
a drain. You're like sucking all the positivity.
Healthy skepticism of
is a dementor.
How many times have you ever seen an Apple? Sorry, a battery life from any manufacturer that's actually
borne itself
out? Okay, O2 upgrade fail. I have no idea what that bullet point's about.
It was to upgrade from your 3G phone to your 3GS, I believe.
That's right. So they didn't offer any sort of upgrade paths for everyone. So people were spending a lot of money to get to 3GS, Ian. Digital Outbox got launched, the biggest news of June. Digital Britain Report we also had published. Augmented reality apps started coming out for Android and the iPhone. Layer was the first onto the Android, I think, to start with. We found out eventually that Jobs had his liver transplant and he was on track to be back at work. And we saw the end of Michael Jackson and the birth of Michael Jackson mania on all the social networks. And Pirate Bay was sold.
Not anymore.
And that was Michael.
Channel 5 had a whole night about him last night. I'm sure we're going to get the run up to New Year is, oh, poor old MJ. Who cares? Shut up. Anyway.
I just look forward to all the hate mail coming up.
Okay, so I guess the big stories for this month, alongside the fact that Digital Outbox was launched, were phone news, wasn't it? So Palm Pre, we saw that launched in America, but also we saw the iPhone 3GS.
Yes. So I'm only the one that's got a 3GS, so obviously I'm going to say it's fantastic.
And do you say that?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really good phone. So,
I think to get the full use out of the iPhone now, you do need 3GS. I think developers are starting to rely on its extra power because it's some things are quite clunky.
And I think what was quite interesting was that alongside the 3GS was the OS 3 got launched as well.
Yeah,
and I certainly noticed when I slapped it on my old 3G that I didn't see the speed that they were talking about. Some things felt a little bit clunkier and a little bit more jangly. I don't know if that ever got fixed as the updates came out through the rest of the year.
I'm still finding it clunky and a bit shit. But I mean, it's one of the I've moaned about that a fair few times now, so I'm not going to do it again. But that was the news of that month, wasn't it? It was OS 3 didn't quite work as well with the older hardware as we would have liked.
I think the disappointing thing around the 3GS launch was I think everybody wanted more. You know, so it came with video and it came with a compass.
Digital compass, yep.
You know, and that you know, to have that in bullets is like, look, this is big news. This felt really kind of a bit underwhelming. And yes, it was speed, and yes, it's 32 gig, but
I mean, they put the new camera on it, the new, you know, the sort of lens on it, and rather than being a massive step forward, which everyone was expecting, it was just a really tiny increment.
But interestingly, and again, I'm relying on other people and other podcasts, but guys were talking about using the Droid's 5 megapixel. And saying they'd rather use the iPhones because the quality's better.
Yeah, there were some bad reports to start with, but someone said there was some manufacturing resin or something
but that's even since all that. Okay. That's even since the updates come out and allegedly fixed it all. There's still if you still look at the pictures and if you look at things like lag and all that kind of stuff, there's still a preference to go for an iPhone camera, which is interesting. I think you can get caught up with the old megapixel. Yeah. I certainly used to. When it first came out, I thought 2 megapixel was rubbish, I must admit. but then a lot of people now, you know, it's like, do you really want to carry a camera around, or is that good enough? It's 3 and 5 megapixel. If you can take it quickly and throw it up in Twitter, is that all you want?
It's, I mean, people don't take cameras around as well as everything else, really. I mean, some people do, but, you know, generally, you can have a great camera, but if it's home, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
So I must admit, a bit mixed. I think for me and Shaquille, we were doing the podcast at the time and we used to talk about, well, as you can tell, we talk about all this stuff all the time. I think we were disappointed and it was a number of things. The hardware just wasn't a big jump, and also the whole O2 can't upgrade easily. Just it all felt a bit flat, really.
I think a lot of it comes down to people themselves. Say, you know, like we've already said, it's the expectations, but the expectations are created by people themselves. Yeah. Like Apple never came out and said, oh, yeah, there's a possibility we'll add in, like, you know, this and that or the other. People just assumed, and they're like, you know, you start a rumor on the internet.
Contain
and just,
yourselves.
And it just sort of spreads, and people start then expecting those things to be released.
The online Apple community is ravenous for new stuff, aren't they?
I think you'll find it's not the Apple community. It's mostly the non-Apple community that starts off.
Well, I think it's just I think it's just the tech community at large. look at the tablet. The tablet's been like the must-have gadget to own for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, and exactly that. And say it's almost like the expectation. Well, the expectation is definitely running ahead of what actually people can deliver and properly deliver. I mean, you know, you don't want to release a bit of hardware that's half baked and got problems, because that's even worse.
The last decent Apple keynote was the iPhone coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back and look at that keynote, which sadly I've done, but if you go back and look at that keynote and they do the old kind of, you know, we've talked about a touchscreen iPod and we've talked about, you know, this and we've talked about having a phone, and I'm pleased to say all three of these devices are coming out and it's this and it's all in one.
Yeah.
And it was just the way they did the keynote, the way they showed the touchscreen, that was the last kind of, you know, big keynote. Since then, it's all been incremental stuff. Same with the hardware, even. You could argue it's all been incremental.
I think we've said it before, though, that because Apple does such an integrated system, you know, for the start to finish process of, you know, it's not just a bit of hardware, it's all the stuff that goes along with it. So iTunes and all that. A small change now requires an awful lot of work to get in, put into place.
And also, I think it's easy to be negative, but, you know, we've talked about incremental hardware updates. I'm still looking at a phone that I don't think I can go and get a better phone for myself right now.
No, it's still, I'd say it's still the strongest candidates in many of the fields, isn't it?
You know? I mean, I think Droid Milestone, whatever you want to call it, I think that's now, you're seeing a screen size that is a lot better. You're seeing screens that are a lot better. So I'd be disappointed if an iPhone which comes out next year didn't, you know, if I had the same kind of screen, I'd be like, oh, that's fairly poor.
And I guess just quickly we'll say that I think Palm Pre suffered the same that the 3GS did, which was higher expectation than the actual delivery, because it's not a bad phone. It's got some really nice features.
It's not a bad phone, but the App Store's never taking off.
Yep.
No, it's how do you compete with 100,000 apps now?
Exactly that. And it takes that kind of number of people that are on board to make App Store suddenly go over that tipping, you know, the tipping.
If I think back to things like when the Xbox came out, Xbox was the best tech, but all the kids had PS2s.
Yeah.
You know, so I was getting people saying to me, should I buy my kid an Xbox? Because all his mates have got a PS2, and that's what he wants.
Yep.
I think it's the same just now. iPhone's reached this mass market thing that everybody's clamoring for an iPhone.
I wouldn't recommend anything else at the moment.
I think Palm Pre, it's not like they had a poor product. I mean, they released exactly what they promised, you know, like in terms of hardware and the operating system. I think it's just, there was a lot of hype around it, and when the hardware came out, when people started using it, it was more like the build quality, I think, that sort of got it down. And then the people who were initially complaining about the soft keyboard and the iPhone, saying, oh, we need a hardware keyboard, when they then started using the Palm Pre keyboard, they realised that, actually, you know, we much rather now prefer using a software-based keyboard. And, you know, the hardware-based keyboard was just not as user-friendly as the other one. And I think it's just little things. It's a whole experience of the iPhone, I think. It's, like, really user-friendly, easy to use. And I think Palm Pre, when people started using it for real, they realised that it's just not as good.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
But there's no buzz about it. You know, where do you hear Palm Pre's getting mentioned
in
the UK?
It's just almost like disappeared, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still there, but it just...
And the thing that still winds me up as well is that whole iTunes nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've just said that to bait Shaky on to saying it, and he's not going to say it.
Nope.
Go on, it's Christmas.
Get out.
Shall we have a quick look at our games of the year then?
Yeah, do you want me to have a crack first?
Yeah, go for it.
So I think this year's been very poor for games. And the reason I say that is that if I look at my most played games, they're all follow-ups. There's no originals. So FIFA 10, I'm really enjoying, but it's just more of the same, and it's been incremental improvements. Halo ODST. And I guess in some ways I was always going to pick Halo. And there's two reasons. One, I really like it, but also if I think of the multiplayer games I've played this year, it seemed to fill the void when there was nothing else new coming out. It was almost like the go-to game to keep me going. And ODST was, I think, a fine game, but it just didn't, it wasn't enough to make it stand out.
Do you know what? I think ODST suffered from the fact that we'd all been playing Halo 3 because there was nothing else to play.
Yeah, probably.
Had ODST not been come off straight off the back of that, I think it would have felt a lot fresher.
I can see me revisiting soon, to be honest. Yeah. And the reason I'm saying that is I've now got Modern Warfare, which is definitely filling the first-person shooter void for me. But, boy, is it frustrating. It's just the kind of game that if you're not on your game, you just get owned, and it's not pleasant. And they've done daft things like disabling party chat. And, you know, party chat for me made Xbox Live, which makes sound daft, but more pleasant. No, I didn't have to listen to, you know, kids screaming and rock music and basically yanks. I still want my foreigner filter. You know, if you're a foreigner, I just want to auto-mute you.
Xenophobia visits digital Xbox.
Oh, absolutely. Basically, if you're a foreigner, and I'm including some people from England in this, but if you're a foreigner, I just want to auto-mute you. Thanks very much.
I have to say, I don't agree with you in theory, but in practice, I think you're probably going to be bored out.
And I guess the final one is Forza 3. And the disappointing thing with Forza 3 is that I think it's good, but it wasn't that good that I wanted to go back when another game came along. I just get taken over by FIFA and Modern Warfare, which is a bit of a shame because I think there's an awful lot in it. And I'm really struggling to pick one out of those to say that that's my best game. I guess I'd throw it at Modern Warfare just because technically I think it's very good.
Okay. How about you, Shaq?
To be honest, I've not really played that many games. The only two I would say I've played three, Dead Space earlier in the year. And when I say I played it, I watched one of my friends play the first couple of levels.
Scraping the barrel.
And that looked all right, I guess. But the one I have played personally is Uncharted 2, which was, which is a fantastic game. In fact, I'm still playing it, you know, a little bit at a time whenever I get the opportunity. And it's just such a polished game. Graphics are just spot on. Don't think I've had any issues with the camera, because these kind of games, you do get like camera angle issues. Audio is amazing. I think most of all, it's just the storyline. Story is just so superb. And the way that it flows is really nice as well. I think people who like their first-person shoot-em-ups might find it a bit dull because, you know, there's a bit of you get cutscenes, etc., and then, you know, you have to do some things that don't involve just shooting people. So it might not be for everybody's cup of tea, but as a sort of a casual gamer now, I think it's definitely one of the must-have games of PS3 this year for me.
Okay, and Henry, have you got anything for us?
Well, not really. I'm a very, very casual gamer, and, you know, we do have a Wii in the house, and I am the one that kind of plays it occasionally, I must admit. But there's not been that much this year, really. The Wii Sports Resort was definitely probably the best of things that came out of that. But even then, it seemed a bit like a bit of an advert for what they could do with the Motion Plus controller. So actually, I still like World of Goo, so
yeah, fair enough, it's a great game.
Yeah, World of Goo in any platform has been superb.
I mean, excellent. So
yep.
Okay. For me, again, I agree with you, Ian, it's just been an empty year. I would say three quarters of this year has had nothing going for it. Earlier in the year we did see Fable 2 released though, and I spent a long time playing it. I mean, I only played it through once, but that was, you know, it took a long time to get through, and I really enjoyed it. I thought they'd done a good job. We did see GTA 4, I think, at the beginning of the year, which was fun playing that. We had some laughs, but it didn't really last for me. I have never completed it. I thought I was going to go back to it, and I haven't. In the arcade, we've had Trials HD, so we've seen some really quite big arcade releases in the wake of not seeing any big actual game releases. And Trials HD was one that was very, very Moorish, but incredibly frustrating. And then towards the end of the year, we've had Modern Warfare 4, Modern Warfare 2 and Forza 3, as we said. I think Forza 3 is almost proof that, I mean, it's an incredibly wide-ranging and scoped game. It's got an incredible community aspects to it. It's huge, incredibly in-depth, but it kind of, say, does that kind of game really, is it enough fun to keep going back to? I'm not sure.
Well, it reminds me of, it's like, GTA 4. If I think back to GTA 4, the thing I always wanted in a GTA 4 was multiplayer, and it comes along and I was bored.
Yeah,
it just felt unfocused, you know. And it's if I look at some of the really successful, you know, online games, it's very focused on here's some playlists we'll keep changing, but here's some small maps you can play on. And I don't know. For me, Forza 3, it is a good game, but just
I'd say Forza 3 is the ultimate example of a kind of driving game. It's just brilliant. It's in every way. It's implemented well. It's everything about it works. Yet, I mean, maybe GT is going to go this way as well. You know, Gran Turismo when it's released, is it actually going to be interesting?
No, it's going to be rubbish.
Modern Warfare 2, I've called it the best and worst for me, the game of the year, because it goes from massive highs of, you know, really enjoying it to some, like you say, if you're not on your game, it's going to be pretty diabolically frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way of describing it. It's frustrating. I mean, it's a game with a reverse learning curve where you start off with all the worst of everything. And you have to try and fight your way to trying to get better weapons. So the best people have all the best gear and all the best equipment. So it's very frustrating. But for me, my surprising winner, I think, is Fable 2. I think for this year, that's the one I've enjoyed the most so far.
Interesting. But overall, for me, a really disappointing year. Even hardware-wise, just nothing really is... just nothing. It just all feels quite flat. I don't know if it's the... credit crunch, don't know if it's just like mid-cycle. It just feels like there's not even anything to look forward to. You know, if I look at next year's game, it's just more of this, you know, it's more sequels.
It's more Crackdown. Sequels. I'm looking forward to Crackdown.
Sequel.
What's the
Ghost Recon
one?
Sequel.
Yeah, what's the writer guy? I can't remember. Alan Wake, it's been coming for ages, but that's not a sequel.
Yeah, I think it's going to be rubbish. There's, what was it, Heavy Rain?
Yep.
Rubbish. GTA or GT5, I think it'll be a good game. I just don't think it'll be, you know, the best thing ever.
I think it'll suffer the same as Forza 3, just not interesting.
So that's our games of the year. And that's the end of part one, as we've prattled on for too long. In part two, we'll take you through the last 6 months of the year, and we'll look at our gadgets of the year. And we'll also cover our failures and our predictions for 2010.
Exciting stuff.
Can't wait.
It's very exciting.
I can't wait.
Well, we're only going to record it in 5 minutes' time, so keep your pants on.
Well, let me go and get my pants.
If you want to find out more about us, and after that last half hour, I'm sure you don't, but the website is digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter at digitaloutbox. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com, and is that it? You can Skype us, Digital Outbox. Henry, where can we find out more about you?
Yeah. Talk Rhubarb, but yeah, something like that. TalkRhubarb.com.
TalkRhubarb.com, and you're Talk Rhubarb on Twitter.
Yeah, and yeah, Skype and stuff too. Yeah.
So my blog is ind.net, my Twitter is Sweeper. Shaquille.
ShaquilleNaim.com is my blog, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShaqN.
Little Chris.
And I am CheesyUK on Twitter, and ChrisHutchinson.org.uk is my blog.
Fantastic.
Super.
So that was part one. Join us again soon for part two. I've just gone all moaning because I know I've got a day of editing to do now.